Back to the line. Fortino, no shot. Johnston back to Fortino. Fortino, rolling puck down low. Shot, scores! It's Poulin again! Canada wins gold in overtime!
You're listening to The Hockey Show on 101.5 UMFM, your home for Golden Goal discussions.
Canada's Olympic ascent is complete.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I have your attention, please?
Let's go, girls.
Good evening.
Come on. I'm going out tonight. I'm feeling all right. Gonna let it all hang out. Wanna make some noise. Really raise my voice. Yeah, I wanna scream and shout.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Hockey Show here on 101.5 UMFM, Canada's only campus-produced radio show that strictly talks hockey. Glad to have everybody with us tonight. Big, big show for us. Jason, how are you?
I'm doing quite well. This song is bringing back such memories.
This song, I was actually looking this up today, and I mean, this is going to make, I hate to say this, but our guests sound very young, but this song came out when the captain of this team we're going to talk to was born, so...
And suddenly I realize how old I'm getting.
Yeah, it's not good.
I was going to say, this just brings back childhood memories.
But it's important, though. It's important to note that this, if you heard this song all season long at Flames Community Arena, it's because the team that in question was winning, and they won a lot this season. For those that may be wondering, this was the winning song whenever the Mount Royal Cougars were winning games, and... Going to drop it down a little bit more because tonight the Hockey Show is thrilled to have the best of the best in Canada on our program. These six women that we're going to talk to tonight were a part of the team that both Jason and I have watched, admired, and knew that one day they'd be champions. Champions of what was still to be determined. But this squad had that moxie. They had that je ne sais quoi. They had that element of see if you can stop us that we knew that one day nobody would stop them. 3 weeks ago, we were witness to that resolve as they climbed the mountain, conquered the land, and stood as U Sports national champions. Ladies and gentlemen, the Hockey Show is proud, honored, privileged, humbled, and pleased to welcome from the 2023 U Sports National Women's Hockey Championship gold medal winning Mount Royal Cougars, Tatum Amy, Alex Spence, Aaliyah Joma, Courtney Coleman, Emma Bergeson, and Sydney Benko. Let's start off with the obvious. How's everything going out in Calgary for you guys, champs? What's it like being champs out there?
Pretty great. Feeling is just, I'm still numb. Can't believe it.
How can you be numb now? Like, we're talking 3 weeks later. You guys have been through the grind in terms of everybody wanting to talk to you, no? Anybody?
Yeah, I think it's just still crazy to wrap our heads around it, even though it's been almost 3 weeks. We're still just pumped about it, I'd say. Yeah.
Have you taken the medals off at all? Have you just been wearing them every single day? Because I know if I was in that position, you wouldn't be able to get it off me.
Yeah.
Just a shower.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair. We'll give you that.
Yeah, I think most people still carry it around in their backpack at school.
That, you know what? It's a free pass to anywhere, but yeah. Basically at that point.
Great conversation starter, too.
Yeah, that's okay. That's all right. We wanted to talk to you guys because we talked about it ad nauseum about how much we legitimately back in 2017 saw something in this team, and now we've witnessed it. So
we were right.
Congratulations, number one. I mean, you've probably heard that phrase a lot, but congratulations on the win. And then let's get into some of this craziness now, because anybody can jump in, anybody can answer, but we do want to talk to you guys about this because you guys, it's funny because we got to see Trinity Western, or, you know, this a couple seasons in terms of them playing. You guys have seen a couple seasons in terms of playing, but Mount Royal was the first, they had their first playoff appearance here in Manitoba, which kind of is funny because we got to witness the first playoff sort of run for you guys. I mean, it only lasted two games, so that's okay. But then you guys are hosting Trinity Western in their first playoff appearance in Canada West. Fantastic series in terms of the way it was played. But you guys held two of their better scorers, Amy Potomac and Brooklyn Anderson, to a combined 3 points in that series. What was the game plan for that series? Was that, you know, sort of the idea, shut down their two best players and let everybody else beat you?
I don't think that was the game plan, was shut them down. I think we looked at Trinity more of a whole instead of two players and just took it game by game and didn't focus too much on them. And I think that was really big for us, and we could just focus on our own game rather than those two specific players.
Well, that's all right then. Again, after defeating the Spartans, you guys rolled into Edmonton to meet a team who is quickly becoming more of an arch rival than your crosstown foes seem to be. The Alberta Pandas looked a little bit more like they may have your number after the regular season than maybe what anybody gave you credit for. But you guys, again, you guys allowed just two goals in three games against the Pandas. So what worked so well against them in that series?
Caitlin Ross was just, I mean, she's pretty lights out in that series, all through playoffs and nationals. But, you know, none of those games were high scoring. Like, both teams, they probably didn't say the same about us. Like, they ended up losing, but I think we only ended up getting 4 or 5 goals that series too. So it was tight. They were good games. But yeah, obviously defensively we played really strong and relied on our back end and then got the job done up on the forward side when we needed to. So it was great.
Yeah, and just along with that, I think that's something we were aware of going into that series, was just how tight defensively both teams play. So every goal, every shift kind of like mattered in that sense, because we knew it was going to be a tight scoring game.
And, you know, just to roll the time scale back a little bit to 2022, you guys had the bye in the opening round and then fell to Saskatchewan in the semifinal. Obviously, there are advantages to having that bye. But do you feel like playing that quarterfinal series this year allowed you to carry that momentum into the next round? And does having that week off prevent you from staying kind of in the groove when you're playing so well?
I think, well, yeah, obviously we didn't have the outcome we wanted last year. So we kind of knew maybe having some adversity this season, Scott talked about it. Going into that quarterfinals, it kind of gave us a sense of what that playoff hockey was. Trinity came out strong, and I think that really prepared us for that Alberta series. So I think, yeah, it was definitely beneficial for us this year.
So one of the players that on the call tonight scored a massive goal in that Alberta series. Sydney, that would be you, as you scored the go-ahead goal on the power play with 5:10 to play in Game 3. Take us through that goal as you sort of watched the play develop to the point where I'm just going to tap this in across the line.
yeah, it's kind of hard to remember. It all happened really fast, but we kind of got a chance on the power play there with about 5 minutes left, and Spence passed it across to Butsy, and Butsy just rifled a shot, and it actually hit Kiana Minch's skate and her stick and, like, was going right through the five hole. And Oswald, like, her pad swung back and kind of stopped it, so it was just, like, sitting on the line. So all I really had to do was poke at it. But so probably one of the easier goals I've scored from that spot, but definitely meant a lot to me and the team.
I mean, you brought her up. Alex, you were on the ice, as Sydney just said. What was your reaction to seeing sort of the puck go in at that point? Because, I mean, you had a pretty good angle on it.
Anytime the puck goes in, you get pretty excited. But obviously in that situation, like I mentioned, just how tight scoring all that like series is with Alberta, we kind of knew that goal was the difference maker. So I was pretty pumped for Banco and for us.
And what was the celebration like on the bench? Did it go from like jubilation right to lock it back down mode in like a matter of seconds once the celebration was over, or just like did you let it go?
I mean, there's five minutes left in the game. You got to lock it down, right?
Yeah, I mean, it was pretty emotional for me being my last year. Every time someone scored or I don't know, the whole entire game and series that U of A weekend, I was just crying. Very, very happy, very exciting.
I think the best part about it was I got a big hug from Morgan Ramsey. That was the
best part. Morgan's the hugger on the team, is that what you're saying?
Through playoff, she was.
All right. That's fair. That's fair. Canada's final looked promising after a 1-0 win in game one, but it seemed like game two just went off the rails kind of in the third period there. Thoughts on that third period where the Thunderbirds scored three times before Aaliyah broke the shutout? And, I mean, really, what did Scott say after that game in terms of getting you guys ready for game three?
Well, you know, they did score three. I believe all three were on the power play in a pretty short span of minutes. So, you can't just look at it that way. Like, up to that point, it was you know, 1-0, 2-0. It was a tight game until then. And then, yeah, obviously, things didn't really go our way in that third period. But, I mean, the playoff series are so short and it's such a quick turnaround to the next game. Like, we just couldn't dwell on it. Like, it's hard not to get upset. And, you know, 5-1 is pretty drastic in our league. But we really just wanted to get the job done the next day. Like, as simple and cliche as that might sound, like, we really just couldn't think about it and just kind of remember what went right for us in the first game and just try to build off of that.
So you guys go to game three and unfortunately lose 1-0. I mean, Cassidy Rhodes scored on the power play there, but I mean, huge effort from you guys. You guys were already knowing you're going to Nationals. So here's where things went. Again, we went a little digging and into the stats and into the numbers, but we spoke to Tatum after the game. Tatum, you had said on that Thursday night when we talked to you after the Toronto game that scoring three goals in one night was different for your team. So we kind of laughed about that, but we actually went back and took a look at that because we know it's a tight checking affair in Canada West, but the number since your January bye, now that's January 20th and 21st that you guys had the bye, you guys gave up three goals to your opposition just twice in that span until you won the gold medal. So that's game two against UBC, and it's against Concordia in the U Sports final. Prior to the bye, you had surrendered three or more goals in five straight games. So, again, we sort of look back at the whole season and we go, is that where things changed for you guys? Is that where really the playoff atmosphere, the playoff mindset kicked in for you guys? Is that bye week?
I would say it was after getting swept by Manitoba. I think as a team, we were kind of like, we got to figure this out. And I think the next weekend was our Croatoa Classic game, and we swept the Dinos. And I think that's when our team hit our stride and was like, hey, we're back into this. I think we can do something special. I think that's when it kind of clicked.
And this next one, this is a very Teebs question because I can see his anger over how the rankings in Canada West work all over this one.
It's not even that. I don't understand why we use a ranking system, but whatever.
So we did not believe you guys were the eighth ranked team in the tournament going into Nationals. And we know the ranking system in U Sports is flawed. We'll leave it at that.
That's putting it gently.
That being said, we know the rankings didn't matter in the end, but does that drive you a little bit more, giving you like a will prove we're better than that kind of mentality? You know, Tatum, you talked about the underdog in quotes being that in the tournament. Does that kind of give you a little bit of fire in your belly?
Yeah, I think we took that and used it as to our advantage. And I also think a couple of girls played Nationals 3 years ago and played University of Toronto. And I think just like coming in, not having any pressure on us, and just playing our game and trusting the process was really big for us. And I think
go ahead. Yeah.
Sorry, we knew that we weren't necessarily like the eighth ranked team. We knew that as a group. So regardless of what it was on the sheet, we kind of felt like it was just whatever could get like the proper matchup. We wanted to play Toronto. That was the matchup we wanted. So the only thing that changed was the 8-1 and I think that did what we wanted it to do.
I mean, we asked Tatum that night, you know, do you guys feel like you own Toronto now? I mean, that's taking it a little too far in terms of looking at the matchup, but really, I mean, we had identified it here on our show that was probably the best matchup for you guys as well. But I mean, looking at every game you guys played, I mean, you matched up fairly well against all three teams. Yes.
Yeah. Well, it was a funny story. After the Toronto game, right after, one of our teammates was standing in the lobby and some of the Toronto parents slash fans came out and they said, well, if that's the eighth seed, good luck to everybody else in this tournament.
There you go. See, they do too.
Yeah.
So again, I mean, we'll get into the fun part now. I mean, road trip to Montreal, which is always fun. I mean, road trips anytime can be fun, if depending on what's going on. But road trip to Montreal, Tatum, you told us that you had a pretty significant fan club with you. For each of you, who else came? Who else was with you to cheer you guys on?
Well, I had my mom and dad there, and my sister, and then both my grandmas and my aunt and two cousins. So cool. I also.
The whole family is there.
Yeah.
I was fortunate enough to have both my parents and then my brother come along, which meant a lot. My family didn't miss a ton of games throughout the season, so it made sense for them to come all the way to Montreal.
Anybody else?
Yeah, both my parents, my Auntie Darcy, my grandma and her boyfriend, and my great aunt as well.
Now, Emma, I mean, obviously it's a long way from Norway. Did you have family there?
No, they're all watching from home.
Oh, that's so fun.
We can understand.
Yeah, I mean, it's a little bit of a hike. We get that, yeah, in terms of where it's going. So, again, you guys squared off against a team you had beaten in 2020. You guys beat the Varsity Blues back then. You guys beat the Varsity Blues again this year. But seemed to be a bit of a chess match early on. Courtney, you did find the back of the net off a feed from Aaliyah with 46 seconds to play in the first period. So, got to ask you, is that the biggest goal of your career so far?
Yeah, probably. I mean, it was pretty special. It was obviously the first goal of the tournament, and I thought for our line personally, it was also a big goal. We had kind of been snake bitten a bit in the Canada West playoffs, so to get that goal, I think it kind of just gave us a little bit more confidence to go throughout the national tournament there.
You didn't keep that puck, did you?
No.
Oh, you should have. That's a big goal. There you go. down 2-1 after Toronto scores twice in the second period. What's the mood like in the room after that second period?
Confident. I actually have a good story about this. My older brother came and he told me this after the game, but he was in the washroom just in between, and obviously, like you said, we were down 2-1. And these two U of T fans, not sure if they were parents or just watching, but they were saying, "Oh, we feel bad for this Calgary team, like this MRU team, like they come all the way to Montreal just to play one game that's meaningful, that actually matters." And I remember when he told me that, I mean, that put a fire under my, yeah, to get going. So I didn't think that, like, we went in, I think we went in playing to win, not playing to not lose.
Right.
So, yeah.
Must have been pretty awkward for those guys on the drive home after.
Yeah, wow. That's a bold statement to make with the period to play. What was the message from Scott, though? I mean, obviously Scott's coming in and trying to get you guys back in the right mindset. What's the message from Scott at that point?
Just believing in what we have been doing all year. And we rely on all lines and every single player. And I think that also shows throughout the tournament that everyone contributes to scoring goals and blocking shots and everything else. So it was honestly just staying calm and believing that we could do it.
So, I mean, you guys get, and again, I wrote about this on my blog in January because I identified that, you know, you guys were getting a chunk of scoring from, you know, Tatum and Courtney and Aaliyah, but not much anywhere else, where, you know, secondary scoring was going to be sort of important down the stretch and certainly into the playoffs. Jory Hanson-Young scored to make it 2-2. Athena Hawk and Brianna Trotter worked their magic to make it 3-2 with 3:45 to play. Again, you guys got a ton of secondary scoring in spades through the Canada West playoffs and internationals. We always knew the depth was there. We always knew you guys had the talent. But I know Caitlin won the MVP for nationals, and she was sensational in net. But I feel like we have to give a nod to the depth of the team as maybe being one of the more valuable parts of the program. Would you guys agree?
Yeah, for sure. Like, I think we kind of read that stat that you wrote, and obviously Court, Jones, and Tate's line was big, but it's hard when there's not a lot of goals in this league to rely on one line. So I think during the playoffs, when some other people started to score, it took some pressure off them and just gave the whole group more confidence. I think I was looking at it the other day. We had 14 different goal scorers throughout those 12 games in playoffs, and I think that's just huge and one of the big reasons why we had so much success at that tournament.
I'm not going to disagree. There was goals from all different lines as well. It's not like it, you know, was 14 goals from like one or two lines. It was all four lines in terms of how well you guys played. So, I mean, that was really big. But, I mean, looking at it down the stretch, I mean, really, I mean, you mentioned to Courtney about being a little snake bitten in the playoffs or whatever. I mean, that takes a lot of pressure off you guys, right?
Yes, for sure.
That's all? Yeah, it does. We're good. I'm just joking. Honestly, though, I mean, looking at the numbers, I mean, you guys had an outstanding season. You guys had an outstanding line for the last 2 years, though. I mean, really, I mean, finding all that extra scoring was, I mean, the sort of the panacea you needed. I mean, let's take nothing away from, you know, Brian. We're going to talk about Brian's fantastic work in a future game as well. But, I mean, legitimately, she came alive out of nowhere sort of in the last couple of playoff games and all the way through nationals. And you kind of went, where was she all season?
Well, she didn't play the first half because
she's
working on rehab with her knee. But I honestly don't think she really came out of nowhere. I think that it was showing immediately when she came back, and then she just started getting rewarded for what she'd been doing the entire time throughout playoffs and into nationals.
So, turning our eyes back to the tournament. So Saturday in La Belle Provence saw you guys battle against the Montreal Caravans, the home crowd, in front of a pretty raucous building, I'll say.
Yeah.
So how much fun was it to play in front of a crowd where the two great fan bases, yours and Montreal's, come together to be loud and proud all game long?
I mean, obviously it was like pretty cool, and that was something from them playing UNB the day before. We knew just from conversations that the crowd was definitely going to be a factor. So that was something we kind of mentally prepare for going into it. And most girls have played at the national level in different various like forms of games. So people played in big crowds, big games. So I think just taking warm up to really settle in was key. And then after that, we just used it as energy and helped fuel us.
So you guys took down Montreal with a goal midway through the third period by Morgan Ramsey after she knocked home a loose puck off an Emma Bergeson shot. Final score was 3-1 after Kaya Borbandi scored an empty netter. But what's the mood like in the room knowing that, you know, very soon you guys are playing for a gold medal? Is it jubilation? Is it like the work's not done yet? Are you locking it down right away and got your game faces on for the next game? So how was the feeling in the room when you knew that you were going to be playing for potentially a gold medal?
I think we allowed ourselves to be happy and enjoy the moment. And I think each one of us had confidence going into the final game. And we believe that we should be in that game. And we're ready to compete for that gold medal. And just restarting and resetting to the next game, I think, was huge.
I think our confidence also allowed us to have a little bit of like composure going into that game. We knew, like Bergie said, we knew we were capable of like winning, and we knew we were capable of what we could do. So it just allowed us to be calm and know that work wasn't finished yet.
So, I mean, I'll ask then, because, I mean, Emma, you've played in a number of big tournaments in your international career, thanks to you helping Norway climb in the IIHF standings. I mean, circumstances are a little bit different in a U Sports National Championship, but do you use the same sort of techniques and preparation for a gold medal game at U Sports, no matter what tournament you're playing in? It doesn't really matter whether it's U Sports or IIHF. Like, what's the mindset in terms of, I've been here before, I know what needs to be done?
I think obviously bringing that confidence and that experience is huge. And I think obviously there is like two different like teams, and I'm with MRU the whole year. So the confidence I have within this group is huge. Like trust every single girl out there, and the same with Team Norway, but it's different. I also think I've never been like played a U Sport National Championship before.
Right.
That was just like a crazy experience going into.
But I mean, comparatively, is it bigger for you to win a U Sports National Championship than it is to, say, you know, move from like Division II to Division I in the IIHF?
I don't think I can compare them, to be honest. I think both are pretty unreal, and yeah, just really cool to experience and be allowed to experience that.
For everybody, because, I mean, this is pretty big as well, because, again, I don't think there are very, I mean, there are a few teams that can certainly claim this, but not a lot. But how big is it having a gold medalist behind the bench in Canadian Olympian and world champion Micah Zandi Hart with all of her experience in gold medal games?
From a defense perspective, like, Micah's knowledge and ability it was huge for us, and she came in a little bit later, but her knowledge of the game and her willingness to, like, help us and level of care, like, every week in practice, she was willing to stay out late with us, willing to sit down for extra video sessions, like, her commitment to us, regardless, like, she had her own things going on, obviously, like, at the national level, but that didn't stop her from helping us, and she definitely played a big part in our team game, but also from the defensive side of it.
So we're going to go through this goal by goal, because, I mean, I think we need to sort of look at this in a case-by-case basis, but feel free to jump in. Anybody can jump in whenever they want, but let's go and take a look at at the first period of that gold medal game. Goalless first period, Concordia held a 10-6 edge in shots, but you guys had some chances. I'll start with you, Tatum, just because you're the captain, but what's being said in the room following that opening period, knowing that, okay, we were down on the shot clock, but we had some chances to get on the board?
Scott came in and just said, well, there's one, and kind of just get the nerves out a little. It was also extremely loud because Concordia is also located nearby, so they had a lot of student fans and their parents, friends, et cetera, there too. So just kind of getting one under our belt was good, and I don't think that we were necessarily nervous, but we were also playing for a gold medal at the national championship, so it was a big deal. So just keep going and keep the foot on the gas.
So Concordia opened the scoring on a breakaway early in the second period. Obviously, the champs know what it takes to win. So, Sydney, what's the chatter on the bench after Chloe Gaudreau scores that opening goal just 1:31 into the middle frame? There's no panic that sets in, right? It's just heads down and let's do this?
I don't think there wasn't any panic. Like, it wasn't the first time in the tournament we'd been down, so we knew it was just one goal, it's just one shot. And especially because my line was on the ice there, we knew we needed to figure it out and just come back next shift and forget about it and hopefully try and get one on the board. And that's what happened. We came back and Tori had a really awesome goal. And I think we knew in that moment that, well, if we can come back, we can win this game.
So it's tied 1-1 after two, and I mean, obviously that's a big sort of setup with Tori Williams' goal there, but we're going to jump to the third period, because 2:02 in the third period, Brianne Trotter strikes again with a big goal. You guys take your first lead of the gold medal game at 2-1. Aaliyah, what's the reaction on the bench after that goal? Because it looked like, I don't even know if Brianne knew it was going into the net until she sort of realized, hey, it's in the net.
I mean, I couldn't really tell you. I was jumping up and down, like, surprised it that high in my life, just hugging everybody. I mean, that was the first time that we had a lead in the hockey game, and it's in the third period. And, like, we've talked about kind of at length here, like, how much every single goal matters so much. And but we knew that, you know, that wasn't it. There was still lots of game left. But definitely, like, in that moment, I'm just smiling because it is kind of, like, it's hard to describe it. It was pretty special. And, again, Bree was somebody that had kind of had to fight through some adversity with an injury and was just playing such a big part at Nationals. So that goal was huge for our team.
So I'll be the first to say that the penalty shot awarded to Rosalie Began-Sire was a little bit soft.
I would say it was probably pretty soft, yeah.
So, Alex, we thought you did nothing wrong on the play and trying to break up her scoring chance, but walk us through what happened on that play. And if you want to, feel free to express your disagreement with the call.
If you don't, we will.
Obviously, I did do something wrong because she got behind Butsy and I, and she came off the bench. I had no awareness, no idea. So that was a tough realization when I did a shoulder check. That pass was going. But yeah, you know, I was actually just really confused the whole time. In the moment, I actually thought, like, once Ross covered the puck, I was just confused, and there was a lot of confusion around. The ref didn't really talk to anyone, and I'm not going to lie, I spent the whole game thinking it was Ross's fault. That there was, like, I was playing back in my head, and I'm like, I thought she could come back outside. series. So I'm like, because I honestly didn't even think I was close to her. And now looking back on that video, I've watched it a couple times, numerous times, and I've definitely gave more of a shot in any other game than I did in that case scenario. So I do find it tough that I got a penalty shot on that, and I think mentally it would have affected me a lot more in the game if I knew that was like entirely my fault. So maybe it was good. That I had a little bit of ignorance and just no idea and confusion that it didn't play on me mentally, and obviously that wasn't a deciding factor in the game, which I can really, really think that it wasn't. But yeah, obviously not the best case scenario, but I did put myself in that position with some poor awareness. But yeah.
Okay, but I mean, and again, I'll jump in here only because we were watching it live and we were like, how was that even a call? Like, she didn't do anything wrong. Like, all you did was put your hand on her back and sort of lean into her a little bit. I mean, maybe it's a check on the ice, but we were like, there is no way that's a penalty in any conference, let alone in U Sports Nationals.
Yeah, in a national championship game.
Yeah, like, what are you doing? Anyway. They go up, Rosalie Bégin-Sears scored on the penalty shot, unfortunately, and then they went up 3-2 after another goal. But here's where things went bananas, because down 3-2 with time expiring, one of the most incredible moments in U Sports history, in my opinion, and I don't care what anybody says, it was, takes place. Before we get there, though, there was a timeout called. Courtney, I'm going to ask you to take us through that timeout, because we were all wondering what was being said on the bench.
Wow. I think we had practiced our 6-on-5 play a few times before we went to national, so Scott was kind of just going over that again and just kind of gave us a setup off the faceoff, and obviously we didn't score off the faceoff, and I think I honestly can't even remember what he said. Like, it was such a moment, and when we scored to tie it there, it was your craziness, honestly.
Yeah, pandemonium for sure. Four of you were on the ice at that time. So Tatum, Courtney, Aaliyah, and Emma were all on the ice. Brianne Trotter, who, I mean, again, Aaliyah, you called for that puck several times, didn't you? In front of the net?
Well, it was kind of on the half wall on both sides, so I probably was yelling.
Okay,
yeah.
I was gonna say, because you could see on the highlight reel that you were basically screaming and banging your stick on the ice. So I mean, I'm pretty sure you wanted it, but again, Brianne threw that at the net through all sorts of traffic, and I mean, oh my gosh, it's in the back of the net. Like, what the heck? We saw the reaction again, but this is where emotions can get the better of teams. And certainly, tie game with 1.8 seconds to go. You're coming off the ice. Obviously, everybody's excited. What happens? What's said? And who is saying it during the intermission before the overtime period begins?
Well, I think there was a little bit more tears. and then that, once those dried up, I think like people just had to find the composure again, because, I mean, no one could have drew that up. So having just like a little bit of like reset, I think was huge.
I also think that I've said this to a few people. We were very calm. If anyone was nervous, I personally couldn't tell. It was very relaxed, put the music on, just do what we do like every game, just treat it like a normal game.
Well, I can tell you that the four of us that were texting back and forth about the game were like going mad after, yeah. Like, we were like, what? What just happened?
So, if you guys weren't freaking out, we were.
Yeah, we did. We did our fair share of it, for sure. So, obviously, things are going to change going in overtime. You have to, you know, sort of be careful. But a couple early saves by Caitlin in the overtime period seemed to turn the tables a little bit as you guys kind of found your legs after that. Let's, again, quick replay on that in terms of what happened. Brianne Trotter came down the right side, fired a puck that appeared to catch the defender and carry him over to the left side, where one Emma Bergeson had her stick on the ice, despite being kind of tied up, but not really. Emma, take us through this. What's it like having the final play of 2023 come off your stick?
Well, I got to correct you on that one, because it was Joe Mata came with a puck down their side. And then on a 2-on, or I guess 2-on-2-ish. And then she shot the puck and hit the post, and then it just bounced back out. That's crazy.
That's there's not much more to it than that. Just it's good. I put it back in.
I can kind of take you through a little bit. I think it started in our own end, and it's actually funny. I've watched the play develop, and Courtney gets it on the half wall, and Bergie's kind of rushing up and calls for it, but it kind of just slipped past her and went to me, and I kind of, I just drove down the side and was waiting for Bergie to kind of catch up a little bit and thought, okay, I'm just going to get this far pad. I honestly didn't really think much of the play. Like, it was a 2-on-2. I was pretty tired. I had a chance in overtime a little bit earlier than that I actually got excited for while I had the puck. But this one, I was like, all right, just get a shot on net, get off the ice. And then, I think it hit the defender, hit the post, hit the back of the goalie, hit Bergie. Like, I really still don't even know what happened. But it was incredible.
Well, the only reason that I say it might have hit the defender is because it looked like Phil Bear was looking for it. Like, she had no idea where it went. So I was always like, if you went far pad, she should have, been able to track that pretty easily. But when she looked to her left instead of her right, I was like, well, there's no way that went off her pad. That had to go off the defender then at that point. I know you said you didn't really sort of know what happened on that, Aaliyah, but did you see the same thing or were you, any idea? No?
Head down at the puck. I don't live on it. Like, to be honest, I have no. I just glad I didn't end up in the corner. So,
And I mean the million-dollar question is, when you all know that the puck's gone in, what's the immediate reaction?
Like, obviously celebrate.
Yeah, I mean, does it hit you in that moment? Like, oh, we're national champions. Are you just too caught up in the emotions that we just won?
I think we were too caught up in it and just trying to get everyone off the bench was the hardest part. The gate open. But once I think we all got on the ice, we were celebrating. And I don't even think anyone on the bench knew who scored. It was like after the celebration, we're like, who even scored? Like, I think everyone just got so caught up in the moment, just being there with the team, that it wasn't even about winning. I think it was just being there with everyone.
So, Emma's goal was the 4-3 overtime winner, obviously, to give you guys your first U Sports National Championship victory. I mean, can't say that enough in terms of it being awesome. But let's be honest. I mean, I know you got a long career ahead of you, Emma, and you're going to be playing for Norway for probably the rest of your life, which is awesome, but in trying to get, up to the Women's World Championship. But, I mean, is legitimately the goal that you kind of just put back, as you put it, is that the biggest goal in your career right now?
Oh, by far, yeah. 100%.
Tell me you saved that puck then.
It's in Scott's office.
Okay, good. I'm glad somebody picked that one up.
Why does Scott have it? You should have it.
Yeah, Scott has all the pucks.
Well, I mean, it's kind of a team thing, so.
Don't worry. Her stick has been taken for the MRU Hall of Fame, so.
Oh, that's.
Did they not ask for. Did nobody contact you from the Hockey Hall of Fame yet? No?
No.
Because it's funny, it's funny, and I'll say this only because it's one of these things where I kind of laughed at, not that it's I'm laughing at it, but so Emma, you scored the last goal of the 2022-2023 season in terms of the U Sports National Championship. When Manitoba won, Venla Hovi scored the last goal as well. We haven't had a Canadian score the last goal in Canada West for some time now.
Oh.
So it's kind of weird that, I mean, again, I'm not taking anything away from international players. It's awesome that Venla and awesome that Emma are playing here, but we don't have any, there hasn't been a Canadian scorer on the last goal of the season in some time in terms of a Canada West team that's won. So it's kind of cool that way. Okay, let's get to the fun part now. We got about 15 minutes remaining here. So for a few of you, life as a university athlete is going to come to an end. Obviously, eligibility and graduating and all that kind of stuff. We saw Anna Pershke leave, go play in the SDHL. Kennedy Bozek has gone over and played in the European Women's Hockey League before coming back. A lot of options that are out there, a lot of hockey options that are out there, but obviously a lot of career options as well. So for Tatum, for Courtney, for Emma, what's the next step? Where is there hockey after university? Is that in the plans at all? What's the next step? Have you even given that any thought at this point?
I'm actually currently looking to play somewhere. My goal is within the PHF.
Okay. Anybody else? Courtney, Emma?
Yeah, I will probably continue to play too. I am not really sure yet. Obviously,
we were pretty busy during the playoffs and have been celebrating, so it didn't really...
I mean, as you should.
But, right.
But yeah, I'm maybe going down to Sweden.
Okay. Courtney?
That was Courtney.
Oh, sorry. Who did I miss?
Me.
Okay.
I'm my fifth year at MRU.
Okay. But is there plans maybe in the future? Yeah.
Probably go play in Sweden.
Okay. Now, I mean, obviously, Emma, you've settled into life in Canada as well. I'll say this without a little doubt. You're likely one of the best defenders we've ever seen play this game as well. I'm not going to lie about that. The accolades you've received at the U Sports and Canada West levels and internationally obviously are huge. If you're going to go and play in the SDHL, I mean, are you going to go take over that league now? Is that the next step?
Are you asking me or Tatum?
No, Emma, you. Oh. Yeah.
To go and play in Sweden, like, for the SDHL?
Yeah, if you're going to go back or you're going to go home or if you're going to stay in Canada. I mean, obviously, there's a couple different things in terms of places you can go. But if you're going to go, you know, say, to the SDHL, you're going to go conquer that league now like you did Canada West?
I think it would be exciting to put closer to home. And the SDHL league is pretty good. So I would like to try it out, yeah, for sure.
Right on. Get in there. Get yourself a name over there. That'd be awesome. For the younger players, obviously, Aaliyah, Alex, Sydney, you guys officially become the grizzled veterans of the team, which, I mean, sounds kind of weird, but is not, because you guys have won a championship. You guys have gone through the grinder, basically. I know the goal is to repeat, three-peat, whatever, turn this into a dynasty, but are you ready to have the targets on your back in every game next season?
Well, I mean, we did have a great season prior to this one as well, and I know that it was cut short a little bit in the playoffs, but I think we had a target on our back coming into this year too, and you really just can't think too much about it or give into the pressure. Like, you just have to play. It's going to be a young team, so I think that we're just going to try and just hope to progressively get better. I think every game, you don't want to start out too strong. You know, you want to be the strongest by March, so just taking it as for that approach.
Yeah, and I mean, we will have a pretty young team. I mean, losing eight players doesn't go unnoticed. But like Courtney mentioned, we've done our fair share of celebrating, and I'm sure that will continue for the next little bit. But come September with a new group of girls, this is like history. We've done it. But I think come September, it'll be important to start fresh with a new group and not try and relive what we've done and kind of start a new chapter in that sense, and I think that'll be important.
All right, so we're going to launch into the more fun questions.
These are the fun questions, yeah. You guys don't have to think hard on these ones. These are pretty much just goofy, fun, crazy questions. So
I'm going
to
start off with my favorite one on the list. Using one word only, describe head coach Scott Rivett.
Yeah, each of you.
Not a hard question.
Each of us?
Yeah, each of you. Yeah, one word only. So it should be six words. That's all we should hear.
I would say he's committed.
Okay, fair.
He's short.
Also true. We'll give you that, yeah.
I think he's very chatty.
Okay. Okay.
I would say involved.
Okay. Four.
Yeah, like passionate.
Five, okay. Anything else?
Compelled, probably.
Oh, good word. All right. Well, I mean, we always laugh because Scott shows like zero emotion, but mm-hmm. We're always like, does he ever smile ever about anything? And then we hear, yeah, behind the scenes, he's Mr. Chatterbox. So. Yeah.
You should have seen him the last 2 weeks. I don't think he's quite... smile off his face.
Well, I mean, yeah, you guys did awesome. So
you poke your head into his office. He's shining the gold medal, looking at it.
I gotta ask because every team has one. And go on about Scott. Sorry,
I was just saying Scott's waited 15 years to walk around Mount Royal and be the star of the show. So he's really, really relishing in it at RU Rec.
I don't think he's taking National
video. Good, there we go. See, Scott's living in the moment. I like it. Every team's got one, and I want to know who you guys have. Who's the prankster in your dressing room? Who's the one player that constantly is pulling pranks on other players?
I feel like it's more of a duo, actually. Oh. I'm looking at one right now. Bergie and Athena Hawk do their fair share of
fair share of pranks, whether we like it or not.
Especially at practice.
Yeah, 6 a.m. practice is a prime time for that.
Okay, Emma, what's your favorite prank?
Yeah. Em's like, I've pulled so many, I can't even think of them.
The clear tape on the skate blades.
When she made like a cut in the tape around your
top tape.
So then Morgan kept just like rolling her tape, but it kept like splitting in half, which was really funny.
Nice, I like it. That's good. I like it. That'll be a fun one.
So I mean, jumping off of that, who would you say the funniest player in the dressing room, in your opinion? Who makes you crack up the most?
Morgan Ramsey.
That was a very quick answer.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like there's going to be any argument on that one either, which is kind of cool. When you guys were in Montreal, did you guys get a chance to get out and see the sights? What did you see when you were there in terms of, you know, actually seeing Montreal?
Krispy Kreme donuts.
Is that like the best thing that you saw, or was there other things that you saw? You're just like, let's go Krispy Kreme every time.
That was one of the best, for sure. Hotel was close to the Krispy Kreme donuts.
Wow, all right then, there we go. We're actually getting one here, so if you guys are coming to Winnipeg next year, FYI.
Yeah.
Is poutine the best junk food from Quebec? We know that's a no, because Krispy Kreme is. So is there anything else you guys junk fooded out down there in terms of, like, regional food down there?
I had some poutine.
Yeah?
It was pretty good. Yeah.
Right on. Anything else? No?
Tortini. Court had a couple hot dogs that were earned. Very deserved
from the rink.
Yeah, we right by at the rink, whether they were good or not, there was a hot dog stand right as we walked in and out, and Court made note that she really wanted a hot dog, and I told her if she scored against Toronto she'd get a hot dog, and
see, all the incentive you need.
There you go, Courtney scored. Let's make that happen. How was the hot dog, Courtney?
You know, it was average, but I enjoyed every minute of it.
Good. That's all right then. That's good to hear in terms of having the junk food of choice that you wanted there. So is that a normal thing for you on the road? Do you normally get like a hot dog from like the arena you're playing in, or is it just Montreal?
No, Scott was just bugging me, and then, yeah, I got called out in the group chat for having a hot dog. So
I love it.
Yeah. Obviously, you know, the group of you are some fantastic hockey players, but if you weren't playing hockey, what sport would you be playing?
Soccer. Pickleball.
Pickleball?
Look at that.
It's like tennis. It's like big ping pong. Ping pong. Tennis and ping pong combined.
Oh.
Do you guys have a table, like, in the room?
No, it's like it's a court. But it's smaller than a tennis court.
No, like a ping pong table. Like, Scott hasn't got you guys one yet, no?
No.
There you go.
Not in our room. The boys do.
No. That's
they're
wrong.
Not the national champions.
No. Exactly. You guys earned it. Like, take it from them. There you go.
Just like go into the room, pull it out.
That's right. You guys want to win it? Go win a championship.
I don't see a banner with your name
exactly.
on it.
Exactly.
Ball table for a bit, and we had some friendly competitions with that, but
Scott took it.
Then it got taken away.
Oh, that's no fun. I gotta ask, because I think this is an important question that everybody, I mean, has a different, not, I mean, not a different answer, I guess, but a question that legitimately can provide a lot of different answers. But if there was one rule you could change tomorrow about women's hockey, what would it be?
Like a rule on the ice?
Yep.
Or
on or off, whatever you want to do. You're in charge.
Now we got them thinking.
The majority of people have said body checking. So, body checking? Yes, no?
I mean, I'm 5'3", so I'm okay.
I sort of feel like, changing that rule, I just have an opinion on this, because it's actually, in the SDHL, they made body checking. Legal, I guess you could say. I really don't think it changes the game that much. I think that our game is already pretty aggressive. I think that if you add that rule in now, it's
pretty difficult to change how the game looks in general anyway.
Yeah.
So that's my two cents.
Micah was telling us that in the IIHF, when you get a power play, you can pick which side the draw is on, and I would have that rule.
That'd be a great rule.
That's actually a true rule. You can do that in terms of if you're the team going on the power play, you can choose left or right. So
that,
yeah.
That's such like a small thing that's just like...
It's huge.
Why not just do that?
Possession off the faceoff, right? So
yeah.
I'm gonna ask, because you guys have obviously, you know, been together for a while, roomed together in terms of this year. What pair of players would win the amazing race from your team?
What
pair of players on your team would win the amazing race?
Oh, we have a girl on our team named Laura Cook, and she's very adventurous and enthusiastic about the outdoors and trying things. So
she probably doesn't even need it.
Honestly, anybody paired up with her, I think, would do pretty well.
Who would you actually pick to be your partner then?
Yeah, Laura Cook.
No. Her partner. Laura's partner.
Tatum would be her partner.
There you go. All right. So Laura Cook is basically the answer to that.
So we're assuming Emma has the most, just being from Norway. But how many and what languages can you all speak?
Not French, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Well, I speak Norwegian and English, but it depends if any Danish and Swedish people are watching right now or listening, I guess. But I can understand Danish and Swedish and a little bit of German, and I could try to speak Danish and Swedish, but yeah.
Okay, that's good. There you go. So you guys got a few languages at least you can boast about, except for French.
Yeah. Who needs it?
So again, we don't want to get anybody in trouble. We don't want any of the players who are sticking around next year to you know, name this answer, because it could cause some bulletin board information. But for the players that are leaving, what Canada West team did you hate playing the most in your career?
UBC.
Everybody names them.
Yeah. I wonder why.
Yeah, definitely. They're a really good team. They're very big, very skilled. They're very chatty as well.
Can leave it at that.
We kind of saw that a little bit. Yeah, that's understood. We are legitimately down to about the last 90 seconds here, so I make this one quick if you want to answer this, but what road arena in Canada West do you dislike the most?
U of A.
Again, everybody says that. The good old Claire Drake. So there you go. Ladies, we have learned a lot. We have talked a lot. Again, we don't have enough time. We could have stretched this out probably for like another 2 hours, because we had about 100,000 things to ask you guys, but we only have an hour. So we do want to say congratulations, number one. Number two, looking forward to next season already in terms of watching you guys defend and certainly play hard. I know, again, composition of the team is going to be a little bit different, but to each of you, to all of you, congratulations on being a national champion this year, and obviously well-earned, well-deserved, and certainly you guys were the best team in Canada, so congratulations.
Thank you.
Before we get out of here, we are going to play your sort of your congratulations celebratory song as well before we get out of here. Jason, anything you want to say before we go?
I had something and then I completely forgot.
I will say a couple things. First, happy Passover and happy Easter to anybody that's celebrating, number one. Number two, Survivor next week, if anybody's interested in that. So if you're interested in that, go to Hockey Blog in Canada. I'm going to have all the information up there about Survivor in terms of what we need to do, and we'll get into that next week as well. If any of you ladies want to play Survivor, you are welcome to join as well. Beyond that, though, we're going to get out of here with the song that you guys continually and always played at the end of every victory celebration for you guys, as we sort of more or less fade this in and get this going for you guys. But happy to have you on, happy to have you to playing in Canada West. Certainly you guys are good representatives of Canada West, and congratulations on being the national champions this year. That's fantastic. Ladies and gentlemen, the Mount Royal Cougars.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
You guys are welcome. Thank you. And we'll talk soon. With that, we are out of here for another week here on The Hockey Show. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. Take it easy. We'll see you next Thursday for Survivor.
So you understand the situation here.
You're listening to CJUM FM 101.5 megahertz on the FM dial from Winnipeg.
And that is how you do that.
Amazing.
That was kind of impressive.